Okay. So now we're holding in the second parak of Challah. Okay, so just a moment of background here before we get into things. It's very hot. If you know how, that'd be great. Yeah. Okay, so I'm seeing background, which you'll probably know anyways. But so there's a whole set of mitzvahs in the Torah called mitzvos hatuluyos ba'aretz, mitzvahs that depend upon the land. Ha'aretz in that sentence is referring to dirt. It's not referring to Eretz Yisrael per se. Okay? However, the klal is kol mitzvos hatuluyos ba'aretz, all the mitzvahs that are depend upon the land are only applicable in Midoraisa and Eretz Yisrael. So it's not a great deal of difference. But there are some nafkaminas. We mentioned one before about Orla. Remember we said that Orla Midoraisa is only in Eretz Yisrael, but we had it, Halach El Moshe Misinai, it also applies in Chutz La'aretz. So that the reason why that funny structure is because of this point. And also it's going to apply in Chala. In Chala, it says, to land that I will bring you. So it's learned out that it's not dependent upon, the Chiyav Teichala is not dependent necessarily upon that the produce grew in Eretz Yisrael, but rather the dough is made in Eretz Yisrael. That's going to be our mission here. Mishnah Aleph is going to say, what if you bring in grain from Chutz La'aretz, or what if you export grain from Eretz Yisrael, what's going to be? So it starts out, it says, Peros Chutz La'aretz, if you have grain that comes from New York, out of Israel, Shenichnasu La'aretz, and you import it now into Eretz Yisrael to make, and there in Eretz Yisrael you make it into dough. So then, Chayav and Bechala, even though its origins is Chutz La'aretz, if the dough is created in Eretz Yisrael, it will be Chayav and Chala. Now,
as the situation is today,
that's right.
Also, the tool is for
Chutz La'aretz. That's right. Now, what's Koveh is when it's made into dough. So, if for example, I'm sure they have. I'm sure you can buy ready-made like dough and frozen dough.
Sure.
Filo dough and stuff like that. Right? Whatever. If they ready make the dough in Chutz La'aretz and then import the dough to Eretz Yisrael, it's putter, right? It's koveh is when you make it into dough. Okay. Yeah. Now yatzu mikan l'sham. If you export it from here, meaning Eretz Yisrael, this ton obviously was in Eretz Yisrael. L'sham to over there to Chutz La'aretz. So now it's produce from Eretz Yisrael, but it's going to be made into dough back in New York, right? Rabbi Eliezer Mechayev and Rabbi Akiva's Poter. It's a machlokas.
This is Doraisa or Durabana?
Doraisa.
Okay.
And Durabana, I guess, by the way.
Well,
that's Durabana. Because
Durabana,
everyone makes...
Yeah, Durabana and Chutzlart also.
So the device, they're arguing over the device.
They're just over the device.
What about that ready-made dough that you said that was from Israel, and then challah wasn't taken here, and then you exported it to Chutz La'aretz?
Where it was made into dough, where it's koveh.
So then you're even in New York.
Everyone agrees. Lekuli Alma. Yeah, Lekuli Alma, yes.
Yes, Yochai.
Lekuli Alma, yeah. So Rabbi Eliezer agrees that the point is it's where it's made into dough. He just says, on top of that, it's still produce from Eretz Yisrael, so it needs to get challah taken also. So, and Rabbi Akiva says, no, he's poter. Now, the lach is like Rabbi Akiva, so so why do we take challah in Chutz La'aretz? I don't even know why we do. Well, I do know why. The rabbis are afraid when Chutz La'aretz that we'd forget about challah altogether. We just forget about it, so they instituted it afterwards.
But
it's definitely Midrabanan Chutz La'aretz. I'm also just thinking, like, I'm not sure. I don't think it was Midrabanan in the time of the Tana, Tanaim, even in Chutz La'aretz. I think it was the Lachas of Rabbi Akiva, and in other words, in Rabbi Akiva's time, it's Pater if you're sitting in, you know, Italy and you're making bread, it's no Chiv. Then subsequently, I don't know when. But subsequently, they're afraid we're not coming back to Eretz Yisrael anytime soon, and people will forget the mitzvah of challah altogether. If no one anywhere is taking challah, and therefore they made a derabanan. I don't know when that happened, but ostensibly after this time, that's where Rabbi Akiva saying pater from din is chayev later on. Okay.
But that mission is talking about making the isa in Eretz Yisrael and sending it out.
No. Yatzu mikan l'sham means you export
even
the produce.
Grain.
Yeah. Only the grain. No, for sure. Rabbi Akiva will be mechayev. If you made the dough in Eretz Yisrael and exported the dough, then it'll be chayev.
Why did you use the word peiros?
As opposed to tefuah?
You can make it from other things. You can make it from.
No, it's no, it's definitely only the five minim. For sure, it's only the five minim.
Yeah.
But it's not the. Paris Eretzrael means that, you know, it's trying. I don't know. I can make up an answer for you.
Whole first bit, you know, but saying these are the things you and you
know.
Yeah, Paris means produce in general.
You know, tavur, dagan. These are the words of the first pair.
But I was only talking in terms of Nadarm and stuff. But it is, Paris means produce. It does, for sure means produce.
Right.
No doubt about it.
Produce, not
That's right. Like, not fruits. Like, in Brachas, everyone knows the Mishnah says, Al Paris Ha'aretz, Mevarachim Brei Pri Adama. Like, it doesn't. Yeah, okay. Paris.
From produce. It's mashma that it's Isa, because it's Lechem Ha'aretz. And
Tvula
is not Lechem
Haaretz. No, and Isa is not Lechem either. No, no, no.
Mm-hmm.
No, and it's not, you know, dough is not Lechem either. Mm. No, it says Haaretz, you focus on Haaretz, so therefore. Since it's Haaretz, it's also going to be Mechai, because it came from Haaretz, produce Haaretz strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Mishnah base. Mishnah base now, instead of exporting produce to Chutz La'aretz, we're going to be importing soil into Eretz Yisrael. This has nothing to do with the halachas of Chala. Don't get distracted here. The first part of the Mishnah anyways, it's just, you know, an obvious reciprocal case. Afar chutz la'aretz, if you have dirt that came from Italy, chutz la'aretz, shaba b'sfina la'aretz, and it came on a boat to Eretz Yisrael. In other words, just the scene is, you have a ferry, or whatever you call it, a boat, and the boat has like plants growing on the boat. Like, you know, there's like pots in the boat.
Like a flotilla. Exactly.
A flotilla, it's like, but it's a growing flotilla, exactly. So it says Chai b'maisus u'b'shvias. So once it gets to Eretz Yisrael, it's as if it's attached to the ground, and therefore, whatever grows there is Chai b'peres Eretz Yisrael, and therefore you'll have, you know, the dirt came from Chutz La'aretz, what grows in Eretz Yisrael is Chai b'maisus, and have halacha b'shvias and so on, comes Eretz Yisrael land.
Does now, it really came into the land of Eretz
Yisrael? So the case is that it's sitting on the deck of the ship in a pot.
But where's that deck of the ship?
Oh, I'm sorry. Good question. The deck of the ship, around the Tanakam here, is sitting on the Jordan River, floating in the Jordan River.
It's in
it. It's in Eretz Yisrael, but it's not in the ground. Okay?
Mediterranean?
Well,
meaning, yeah,
it has to be in Eretz Yisrael, so I don't know the halachas of Mediterranean. That's an interesting question.
Shtorak Barah Aparchi says that there's a line going for 2 miles down to Nachal Mitzrayim, and anything that's within.
Even
that,
in the coast?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
So like seaweed. Seaweed is like, is a chayv, really? I wonder.
It
really?
It could be that halachically, when they raided it, they were in Eretz Yisrael.
So I don't know the halachas about, that's an interesting question. But the seacoast, it was surprisingly not a topic of discussion in the news with this flotilla attack. Because it was outside, there are boundaries, but international law, and it was outside Israel's international boundaries, which is interesting. They did it. They chose to do it that way. Yeah, but I think the flotilla, I think, happened outside Israel's territorial waters. But anyways, that's totally irrelevant. The point is, I have no idea about the Mediterranean and where the coastline, where Hilchos Eretz Yisrael kick in. I just don't know. Don't know? But this is, think here, down the Jordan River. So we're in Eretz Yisrael proper, or some other river. We're in Israel proper,
that's
just
not so much
floating.
Kiddush, is it? Oh, because you say it's not growing in the ground.
First of all, it's a big kiddush, because the thing's floating on a ship. It's not growing in the ground at all. Uh-huh. And second of all, it didn't come from Eretz Yisrael. Now,
it's not in the ground. That seems to be the issue.
Not, yeah, not, yeah, the Tanakamira is not touching the ground. It's floating in the water.
The sphena is irrelevant. It could be in your house, in a plant pot. It's no better or worse.
Now, get this. Now, the way the bartender explains it is, he says, listen, if it would be an atzitz, shena nakov, it would be like a totally unperforated pot, it would be just detached from the Eretz Yisrael and wouldn't be chayv. So he says the case is, it's a really remarkable case. I don't even know how to really imagine the picture. This is the case. I don't know exactly how to imagine the picture fully, I'm sorry to tell you. But the case is that the bottom of the boat has holes in it, which is a bad recipe for a boat, obviously. And then the holes of the boat are plugged up with earth. It's a hard thing to imagine what it really looks like, but essentially you've got, it's attached like through the boat, through the earth into the water. Yeah, catamaran with holes in it, filled up with dirt. I can't really imagine what it looks like. I mean, I can't imagine how such a thing would float. I don't know. I can't imagine it exactly. But that's the story. The situation is a boat with holes filled with dirt, and so the things are, so to speak, attached, but floating in the water. Tanakama has floating in the water. That's Chayav Maisos and Shvias. Rabbi Yehuda, a Masai. Rabbi Yehuda says, now, when is this apply? Bizman Shasfina Gosheshes. When the Sfina, the boat, is Gosheshes, which Bartner learns, means like it's touching. So it means it's like it's in the river bank. Like Hagasha is like to touch.
Touching the ground.
It's run aground in there. It's run aground. So the ostensibly the Tanakama hold now, there's machlokas here. When I say ostensibly. We have a klal, we've seen this a number of times already. There's the Gemara in Erev and Pei says whenever Rabbi Yehuda says a Masai, he's not coming to argue. He's in a Mishnah, he's coming to explain the Tanakama. So if that will be true, so then it's this ostensible business is not true, and it's saying that this boat is embedded firmly in the ground. However, many learn, because learning the Gemara makes, the Yishalmi makes this quite a difficult shot, if that's how you learn, because it looks like they're having an argument. So therefore, many learn that this is an exception to that rule, and the Tanakama hold even floating in water, and Rabbi Yehuda requires it's attached to the ground. Now, Lahalacha, it's a mess. The Rush paskels like the Tanakama. So the Rush learns that the machlokas. The Rush learns that the Tanakama holds floating, and the even floating, and the Rabbi Yehuda is touching the ground, and the Rush paskels like the Tanakama, as would be normally the din, and therefore he says even floating. Even floating. And the Rambam learns that not an exception to rule, like in Erevin, and he learns that even the Tanakama holds it has to be touching the ground, and therefore he paskels like Rabbi Yehuda, so to speak, that it has to be touching the ground.
Who says about the Tanakama? Who says about
it's a Gemara in the Erevin pay base.
Can we apply that?
Yeah, across the board.
When I see Amatai with Rabbi Yehuda,
When Rabbi Yehuda says Amatai, we've had it already half a dozen times, probably. I just made that number up. That was the estimate number. He's just explaining the Tanakama Shita. He's not arguing. But here, could be he's arguing. Could be this an exception. Okay? So that was just to do with dirt that came from Chutz La'aretz. Now, new paragraph. If I'm editing it, I'll make a new mission here, I guess. New point altogether. We have now back to Challah. Isa, if you have dough, shenilosha b'mei peros, that was kneaded with mei peros. Literally, mei peros means fruit juice. Okay, chayavas b'challah, it's chayav in challah, v'nechalas b'yadayim m'suavas. But you are allowed to eat it with hands that haven't been clean, washed. So this is true. This is this reads simple, but it's really complicated. Really complicated to understand what's going on here. Let me try to explain it in a non-complicated way. First of all, mei peros, is a code word for any liquid that's not one of the seven liquids that transfer tuma. So mei peros, could mean apple juice, but it could also mean eggs. Okay, use eggs as for example. Okay, so remember the seven species, the seven liquids. That's the yad, shachar, dam liquids. Those are the ones that are machshir. Someone can be susceptible to tuma, and also allow tuma to be conveyed from A to B. Now, let me explain this on the outside here. Now, when it comes to conveying tuma, so what happens if you have two things that are attached together? So if they retain separate identity, so then the tuma won't transfer. We actually had this in Pesachim. We had about the remember we had the dough that was used to fill the cracks in the kneading trough, if you remember that. So we said that if you want it there and it just really uses glue and it's bustled in the kneading trough, so then if tuma touches the glue, so to speak, so what? The whole bowl becomes tummy. Whereas if it's distinct from the glue, and back in Pesachim we said if it's a kazayis there, the halachas, the Torah says it's distinct, it's not glue, it's a kazayis of chametz. So then it's two separate things. It's not batel. You've got chametz there, and you've got a kneading trough. And if tuma would touch the dough or the kneading trough, for that matter, it wouldn't directly convey tuma, because they're two separate things, right? So you're going to have to, the din about conveying tuma, and by the way, for tahara it's the same thing. When you sprinkle, your mechatas, your red heifer water on it, so if water splashes onto one splash on the whole thing, there's matar the whole thing. I don't know what. If you have a car, So the whole car is like one thing, that you don't like have to put separate water on the carburetor and separate water on each of the wheels. It's a unit, a collective unit. That's the idea of it's connected. Much of what Maseches Kelim deals with is like where you draw the line, sort of what defines a kli and so on. So when you have things that are disparate parts, but like they're two separate units, but they happen to be touching, then tumah won't convey directly one to the other, or tahara won't either. So, for example, if you what's a good case? Yeah, that's good. A pot and a cover. That's a great, perfect example. Perfect example. No. It's not that particular. You have two things. You have a pot and a cover, or those double, double pots for. You have two separate kelim that happen. They happen to be together, but they're not one unit. They're two separate things. So then, just because you're matama one doesn't mean you're matama the other one. So, now there's a machlokas. Okay, so now we're talking about dough here. Now, what's dough? Dough is lots of little pieces of things clumped together. Right. So it's a thousand, a million little flakes that you're combining with the liquid, and that the liquid acts as a glue. So there's a machlokas, and now the sheet, I don't like to bog down with the sheetas, because how the sheetas work out is in itself a machlokas, and that's if you look at the Bartner, he says a funny lashon, he says, near ktsas, like this or something. What's his lashon? He says, v'yushalmi mochiach ktsas. Like, he's alluding to the fact that what's Rabbi Kiva hold is a little bit unclear. I don't want to get bogged down with the sheetas, the names, but the concept is like this. There's a machlokas if things that are not from the seven liquids that transfer tumah can be used as a glue to combine things to convey tumah. Okay? So in other words, when you take water, you mix it with dough, obviously you don't, if you touch, you know, this side of the dough, you don't say, well, you're touching flakes over there, it doesn't even tell me flakes over here. Which you would do, for example, remember we've seen this before also, if you have the date cakes, the vela, exactly. So if you touch like one side of it, so whatever you touch, you're mitama those dates, but that doesn't transfer the rest of the dates because each one's a separate date all to itself. So obviously, if you have water and dough mixed together, water and flour together, you don't say, oh, he's just touching a piece of flour over here, it didn't reach the flour over there. That's ridiculous because it's one lump. But it's not so ridiculous because if you hold that things that aren't from the seven liquids that can be maksha for the kabbal tumah can't be used as glue to convey for tumah. So then, if you knead your dough with apple juice, so if you touch this side, it doesn't matter because this side is tower. And the truth is, obviously, when you're touching anything, the vast majority of it you aren't touching. So it's constantly going to become bottle. Right? You put your hand inside, and you're touching 1/1000th of the flour in the dough. So there's a question here. The issue on the table is, if you use meperos, in other words, if you're mixing your flour now with apple juice, so that's not makshel kabbal tumah, will that be enough to unite it to be makabel tumah? And also, a separate question is, if you recall, there's a minimum shear required for challah. You need 5/4 of a kav. So if it can't, the question is, can you unite it? Will meperos unite it to be considered a single dough? Right? There's a machlokas on that, if the dinim are the same. If the glue halacha, so to speak, applies equally to tumah and tahara, as it does to challah, or if they're two separate dinim. And now, can you say maybe, it's in the Mishnah here, it says, Isa shenulish v'peiros. I don't deal with how the shitas fall out, but how it's going to come out here. This Mishnah's paskening, chayevis v'challah, so in other words, it's ruling, lafuke, those who say it can't, that apple juice mixed with flour is enough to unite it into a single dough. However, you can eat it with tummy hands because it's not enough to unite it for tumah. Okay, like I think that sufficiently. Anything more becomes a cheshbon, and it's a unresolved cheshbon how to figure out the shitas, how they go. But that's the issue. So the Mishnah comes out a big chiddush. However, the shitas work out. It comes out saying it's enough to unite it for challah, but not enough to unite it for tumah. Tummy hands to eat apple juice. Now, if you even add one, if you add water to the mixture, then it's no good. But if it's pure apple juice or pure eggs, it'd be okay. Yeah, cool. Oh, good. Good.
You kind of always have to eat challah, tumah, but tahara.
Yeah, have to.
This is talking about either one of them.
That's right. That's right. No, okay, good. Now, Mishnah Gimel. Okay, when you take challah, you make a bracha. It's a shir kinshav mitzvah of a tzivan or lachafresh challah mina isa. There's different yourselves. So we saw elsewhere. I can't think exactly where the second. Oh, Domai, I think that you shouldn't start taking her freshness if you can't make a bracha. Right? We saw that. Remember in Domai, but yeah, it will work. We talked about the cherish over there. But I think we saw it in Domai. It comes up in Shabbos also. A lesson about being mafresh when you're naked. Now the way it's talking about naked. Sorry, when talking about taking challah naked or taking whatever hafresh is naked, what it's referring to is, well, when you're naked, your erev is showing, and when your erev is showing, so you can't make brachas. So the issue would be, sorry. Yeah, but I don't think it's in the Mishnah is there. We've seen a Mishnah somewhere talking about being mafresh when you're naked. I think it was in the Mishnah. But yeah, but the principles exactly of erva there are indeed taken in Shema, in the Halachas of Kriya Shema, in the third parak there. Not the third parak, it's probably the second parak. But anyways, so second parak. But anyways, so the issue here now is taking challah if you're naked. So you see, thought so simple here. Ha'isha yosheves v'kotza chalasa aruma. A woman can sit and take her challah when she her challah chalasa.
What does
kotza
mean here?
Like on a set aside, I guess. You have a better translation than that? Yeah, that's how I was understanding it. Mefreshes challah. So how does it? Does someone have a translation in English? That's how I was understanding it meant. Not certain. So she can set aside her challah when she's naked, because she's able to cover herself. So the story is that although when it comes to erva in general, like the halachas of erva that we're used to, of your being in front of erva, so that applies to tefach of anything. Machlokas, famous machlokas, if it counts the hair also, but leaving that up, anything that should be covered. If you have a tefach exposed, then it's you can't make a bracha in front of it and so on. But that's not nogea to you. That's nogea if you're making a bracha against someone else's erva. But if you're making your own bracha, so then the only thing that really needs to be covered is your actual private parts. So, and maybe you have to have a break between your heart and your erva. But the point is, your erva has to be covered up. So when it comes to a woman, since her private parts can all be covered up, if she sits flat on the ground with her legs together, so then she's like covered up, like her private parts are underneath her, so that's gonna be okay. Even though like that her back that is still exposed, but that's like to the erva for this din. So as long as she's flat down, so then her legs are flat down, so everything's covered, then she's allowed to, she can take challah because she's could say a bracha because private parts are covered up. Of a law ish, but a man can't, since a man's private parts, they can't go under him, so they stick out, so then that's no good. A man couldn't take challah if he'd be uncovered. Okay, so that's new point. That's the whole point there. So I think it's an academic point, but anyway, that's just telling you that the dinam would apply across the board. Padam tufa, so when she's like flat down, fine. Now, like a new din here altogether. The question on the table is, if you know you're tamei and you're stuck, you can't get out of being tamei for whatever reason, right? So now, what's better? Here's the question. What's better, to take challah betumah, and then at least you'll create challah, which is a mitzvah, and you can still give it to Kohen, he still can use it for firewood, whatever it is, or better, since it's us in the first place to make it tamei, better just use less than the full shear. If you use one kav at a time, remember it's 5 1 1/4 kav to be chayav mechala. So if you just take one kav at a time and make batches of one kav batches, then the chiyav of chala will never kick in. So you'll not do the mitzvah of chala, but at least you'll avoid making a tummy. So which is better?
Can the Kohen do anything with tummy chala?
He can do anything he wants with it, but except eat it. No, I don't, so no one cares, I guess we burn it. What do we say about feeding it to animals?
I mean, it's food. What else are you going to do with it?
What do we say about feeding it to animals? I don't think it can feed it. Oh, that could be the Talayin Machlokas. The Talayin Machlokas, the Rambam says that truma can be eaten by animals. Like, what is that referring to? So some say it's a truma tamea. others learned was talking about the creation and so on. Remember, anyways, but so anyways, but that's not the normative use. The normal use is for fire, I guess. I don't know, but if he wants to make a paper mache paperweight, I don't know what he wants. A buckwheat pillow to sleep on, which are very popular nowadays. So then, you know.
Basically, talking about the concept whether you should do mix for whether there's going to be a good outcome or just don't do the mix.
I'd be afraid to draw like general clellum of this. I'm saying I haven't got just the breath to tell you how far this clellum can go. Like, you know, I don't know how far it stretches, but that's looking at the localized question of what's better or worse. The reason why, obviously, because if the extent is based on psukim, you can't extend the klal. So I'm not holding there to tell you how far
it
can go.
No, it's not breath, but it's just extending the boundaries of.
Let's say we're just on chal here. I can't tell you how far it goes farther. So that's the question. What's better or worse? Okay. So. If a person can't produce his dough in Tahara, because there's no mikvah around, or whatever the story is, right? Or there's no para, you know, whatever. So, ya'asena kabin. He should make it into kabin, into small batches. You know, remember, a kabin, 2 liter bottles, 2 liters at a time. You know, it's pachas mekashir, and therefore, he'll never need to have a chiv to take challah. Val ya'asena betuma. That's better than making challah in a way that needs to become tummy. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Yasena Betuma. Rabbi Kiva disagrees. He says, no, better you do your mitzvah of challah. Of tuma, it's tuma. You have no choice in the matter. Right? Val Yasena Kavman. Don't avoid the issue. Don't avoid the issue. Don't circumvent the possibility of taking challah. Shekashem Shu Korla Tahara, Kahu Korla Tuma. There's no reason to differentiate. Just the same way you do it when you're Tahara, you do it when you're tummy. That's the mitzvah.
Latameya.
Did I say Latameya?
Latameya.
Yeah. Lezukar Chala b'shem lezuk. One second. What's going on here?
You're not
going to
give it a
Kohen
and your Tommy anyway. What's the point of making
a You'll give it to the Kohen. You'll give it to the Kohen and he'll do what he wants with it, which is essentially burn it. Yeah, but also remember, we're not considering the Tommy, the Kohen's benefits, not only we're considered about. Truma we saw is like you're creating some Kedusha. So, like, there's a mitzvah to be done. The fact that the kohen benefits, so what? The issue is just that, yeah. Just 1 second. Lezu korachala b'shem lezu korachala b'shem. Of a kabin. Lezu korachala b'shem. Lezu korachala b'shem. You can either way. You can call chala b'shem, and the shem is referring to shem Hashem here.
I would say,
well,
don't give
another. Lashem. Ben chala tara ben chala tamei harei hu. Mafrisha l'shem shemaim. Oh, l'shem shemaim, not b'shem with the shem Hashem in terms of bracha. Maybe that's the gersa issue. Aval kabin elam chelak b'shem. But when you have less than a kav, you won't be able to, I guess, either take a piece off for Hashem if it's l'shem, or it's b'shem. I guess you won't be able to make a bracha on it. I think I'm not l'shem b'shem. I'm not sure what the nafkmin is.
Gersa.
Oh, actually, I'm not sure. Okay, what's going on there? Fine. So, Rabbi Kiva essentially says there's no difference with Tara Tame, you should do it. And that's that. So, you have a machlokas. Now, this is a fascinating last point we'll say for today. Yeah? Which is just this. The Rambam in the Parish Mishnayos rules like the Tanakama. So, he holds that you shouldn't be Matama if you don't have to. If you have no choice, you should do it B'Kavin. And, however, he rules like Rabbi Akiva in the Yad, so he changed his mind in the Yad of Chazaka. However, most possible like the Tanakama, through and through, like he did in the Parish of Shnayas, that if you're going to be Tameh, then you should better not take challah.
Because it should be Rabbi Akiva Michavei Rov and not Michavei Rov.
Yeah. Right. So. Tov. We'll stop there.